Our second scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 26, all the way to chapter 2, verse 4. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth was formless and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep, while wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed and fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of heavens and earths when they were created. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning. Amen. This is probably something obvious I'm about to say, but introductions are really important. When you have an introduction in a personal relationship, when someone you meet someone for the first time and that other person gives you a great introduction, that can be a life-changing relationship that you don't know how your life might change because you have a new person in your life. And introductions aren't just about relationships. They occur in sermons. One of the things that I struggle with the most when I write a sermon is the introduction. Most of the negative feedback that I get from my sermons, not all of it, but most of it is about the introduction. Either people get lost, or I don't create attention that makes them interested in listening, or that they feel like I talk too much about myself. And so I wrestle with introductions, because oftentimes that's where I lose people in the sermon. Or I say something that gets them so upset in the introduction that they don't listen to the rest of the sermon because they're just thinking about how could Pastor Andrew say that. And I know that introductions are important because when I read a book or I watch a movie, if they don't have a good introduction, then I lose interest, or I sit there reading the book or watching the movie thinking of all the things that are wrong with the said movie or book because I have a negative view of it because it has a bad introduction. Every so often I have these grand aspirations to read a good big book of literature like The Grapes of Wrath or Huckleberry Finn or The Great Divorce. And each of the times I tried to read those things, it took me several times because I couldn't get past the introduction. Like, it just did not resonate with me. It didn't appeal to me. It didn't interest me. And so I eventually would read it, but it took several tries because I just read it. I'm like, why should I care? Why is this important? Why does this matter for my life? But when there's a great introduction, when the author or the director makes a great introduction, it sticks with you. Some of them are so great that you don't even have to have read the book to know what it is. Here, I'll give you one. I bet you know what it is. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. And it's so great because people read the introduction and you say, yeah, you know, I could say that about my life. Or I could say that about another time in history, that it just captures our imagination. And then you want to know, well, why was it the best of times? And why was it the worst of times? And for me, I don't really remember book introductions so well, but I remember movie introductions, especially those ones that really resonated with me. Like in American Beauty, I hope that I don't spoil this for you, but in the first part of the movie, you find out that the main character is going to die, and you start to get suspects of who this main character is, might kill this main character. And so then you want to watch the rest of the movie just to know how is he going to die and who is going to kill him. Maybe you've seen Men in Black. It's a movie about a secret agency that tries to capture aliens. And it's a great introduction to the movie because you find the aliens that are actually aliens. It's deep, and not deep, depending on how you look at it. And you find there's a secret agency that's fighting or capturing these aliens, and then there's another agency that don't know about it. But in the very beginning of the movie, you find out they need a new agent. And that's going to be the whole plot that's driving the rest of the movie. You probably wouldn't guess this, but I like Star Wars. And that the first Star Wars movie, Episode 4, starts out with a spaceship being attacked by another spaceship. And if you like that kind of thing, you're already caught into it. And the whole plot is revealed. Now, I know most of these are dated. So let me use something more recent. Some of you have watched the movie Frozen. And the opening of Frozen starts with Frozen Heart. Now, it's not the most popular song from Frozen, but if you watch the movie, like I did, it probably sunk you in because it was a really compelling song. And we get a glimpse of what the whole movie is going to be about. The dual nature of ice being beautiful and dangerous, about power and yet how it can be broken. And they even use the words "let it go" in the Frozen Heart, which gives you an allusion to the song that becomes the main song people associate with the movie. And the very end of the song says, "Beware of the frozen heart." And that's going to be the conflict that drives the rest of the movie. You get a sense of Sven, the reindeer, and Kristoff, the young boy, who are going to be two of the protagonists throughout the movie. And it's a good introduction if you like that kind of thing, and it captures you for the rest of the movie. It's hard. A good introduction, whether it's between two people, or a sermon, or in a book, or in a movie, captures our attention, grabs our interest. And while I'm not a scholar of literature, and I definitely am not a literary analyst in any ways, and one of the most embarrassing parts of seminary was when I was in a class, and someone, it was a patristics class, about early church fathers, and someone mentioned the word trope, and I just looked at them like, what are you talking about? I'm not into literary analysis. But I would argue that a good introduction answers the question, why should we care? Why should we care enough to know this person? Why should we care enough to listen to the rest of the sermon? Why should we care enough to read this book? Why should we care about this movie? And in today's scripture lesson, we have to ask that question, why should we care? As we read the first chapter of Genesis, as we look at the very beginning of the Bible, why should we care about this book? Why should we read it? And I think as we look at today's scripture lesson, it answers that question, why should we care? Just to give you some context, our scripture lesson is technically an introduction to the book of Genesis. You could also see it as an introduction to the first five books of the Bible, which the Jews call the Torah, or in English we would translate the law. And for the longest time, that was the most important part of the Bible for Jews. And so it's an introduction to the first five books. And in many Bibles, if not every Bible, whether you're Jewish or Protestant, whether you're Orthodox or Roman Catholic, it's also the introduction to our Bible. Now, there are many ways to read the Protestant Bible. One way is you could look at it as 66 individual books that are talking about how God is at work in the world. Or in the case of Esther, wondering where God is at work in the world, since God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. Or you could see it, and this is how we're going to look at it for the sermon series, as one large story about God's salvation in the world and about how God's story intersects with our story and with our lives. Traditionally, the book of Genesis has been said to be written by Moses, but most scholars don't think the book of Genesis was written by Moses. In fact, they would say that the book of Genesis was written, edited, compiled by several different people over time. And that might bother some people, but you have to remember how the Bible started. It didn't start with writings. It didn't start with someone saying, you know what, today I'm just going to write the whole book of Genesis. It started with sacred stories. Stories that would be passed down from one generation to another generation, sharing how God was at work in their lives in the past, so that they might be able to see how God is at work in their lives in the present. And these stories were passed down over time, and some stories had different stories and had different ideas behind them. And in times when they were afraid they would lose these stories, in times of war, in times of famine, in times when there was a lot of social pressures on folks, they would start to write these stories down because they were afraid these stories would get lost. And then over time, these stories were put into books like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. And so that's how we got Genesis, I would argue, is that these sacred stories were shared and combined over time. And so there's many different authors and there's many different editors, but all of them are trying to share a story about how God is at work in the world and how God's story intersects with our story. And their goal is not historical. They are not modern historians trying to write from a modern historical perspective. They are folks who are trying to see God at work in the world, and they tell this story in theological terms, trying to understand who God is and why God would want to be in relationship with them. And when we get to this question, why should we care about the Bible when we look at the introduction, I think there are several different things from today's lesson that jump out and make a compelling case for why we should care. The first is that God created the world. That it's God alone. In the time Genesis was written, people believed in many different gods. They believed that there were many different gods at work in the world. But the Jews said, no, there's only one God. And this one God created the world. And while there might be other people in heaven, in verse 26, there's the plural. And so we get the sense of the heavenly court, that God is surrounded by angels. And as Christians, we would argue that God is three persons, Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, that nonetheless, there are no other gods, and that God alone created the world, and that it wasn't accidental. It wasn't just a happenstance. Things in physics didn't just come together to make the world happen, that God created the world, and that it was God alone who created it. The second thing that is important as you look at today's lesson is that time is important to God. That creation is marked off in days, and that they have universal significance. That for the Jews, at one time the temple was the way they related to God. But when the temple was destroyed, how could they still relate to God? They looked at Genesis and they said, look, God created time. And God even made one day special. One day holy, and as long as we observe God's time, especially that seventh day, that Sabbath, and make it holy, then we can still be in relationship with God. And so time is important to God, and that's why God created different days. And on that last day, the seventh day, God created a holy day, a day of rest so that we could be in relationship with God. The third thing that I think is compelling about today's lesson is that God created us. That it wasn't just that God created the world. And there's been times and places over history where theologians, especially who didn't really buy into the Bible, would argue, well, God just set some things in motion and stood back and let things happen. But as Christians, we believe that God created us, wanted us to be created, and that we were made. And we're familiar with the second account of humans being created, the one about Adam and Eve and the rib. But even in the first lesson, we see today that God created humans male and female, and it wasn't an accident, it wasn't happenstance, that we are an important part of this creation story. Another reason this is compelling is that God loves us. And I think, while it never says that directly in today's lesson, that's how I read the creation story. That God created us in God's image. That God loved us so much that God wanted us to be like God. And the aspect of God, most of all, I think God wants us to be like is love. To love God. And that God loved us so much, God entrusts us with the earth, that we are to be stewards of the earth, that everything is put in our dominion, and that we're given what we need to survive and thrive in this world. God wants us to prosper. God says, be fruitful and multiply. And God gives them everything in that garden that they need to live. And the fifth thing that's compelling about today's lesson is that God's creation is good. That God created the earth. God created us, and God said, this is good. And out of all this, I would argue that why should we care? We should care because God wants to be in relationship with us. God created us. God made us in God's image, especially the aspect to love. And God set aside time each week, the seventh day, so that we might be in relationship with God. And God has acted lovingly towards us, and God has made us good. So why do we care? Because God wants to be in relationship with us. So then the question becomes, so what? So what that God wants to be in relationship with us? And in today's story, it's a story about us. That God is talking about us. That this story could have been told about creation, and humans could have been ignored. Humans could have been not a major part of the story. But instead, we are one of the last things God creates. We are the thing that God creates in God's own image. That God wanted us, desired us. God created us for a particular purpose. That we are not an accident or just some kind of fluke in the scheme of things. That God desired us to be created so that we could be in relationship with God. God created us with a purpose, with a meaning for our lives. And we live in a world where many people struggle with meaning. Where many people are trying to figure out what is the purpose of their lives. What will make us happy? What will bring us joy? What will make us feel content at the end of the day? What gives us a sense of peace? And when we die, when we leave this mortal coil, will we be satisfied with the work that we have done here on earth? People in our world look for many different ways to find meaning. Some of them find it in their possessions. Others find it in their relationships. Some will look for it in their work. So others will try to have so many accomplishments that they think that will bring them meaning and purpose. But many of us, over time, that if we don't find our purpose and meaning in God, find that the things we do look for it in do not bring us happiness, do not bring us joy, do not bring us contentedness or peace or satisfaction, that all the things of this world do not last. But in today's lesson, we see that God wants to be in relationship with us, and that God is a thing that lasts, and God created us for a particular purpose, to be in relationship with God, to love God, and when we find our meaning, when we find our purpose in loving God, we find the happiness, the peace, the joy, the satisfaction that we seek in this world. God's story in today's lesson intersects with our story. We all have a story. We all have highs and lows of any good story. We all have conflicts that we have to resolve. We all, at times, have to suspend our sense. We all have times of suspense where we don't know what's going to happen next. We all live in times of mystery of how are things going to work out. And none of us know how our story will end. None of us know what yet will happen in our lives. And yet, as our stories are lived, God's story intersects with our story. And that our story is part of a larger story, of God's story of salvation. That as we read the Bible, this introduction shows us that God created us to be in relationship with God, and that God's people throughout time have tried to understand what that means, grow in their love of God, and learn and see God in new and different ways. And as we look at our lives, as we look at this introduction, we learn that God wants to be in relationship with us, and that our story and God's story intersect with each other, and that the more our story becomes part of God's story, the more meaning we find for our lives, because God wants us to be in relationship with God. That's why God created us. God did not create us and then abandon us. That God did not create us and then just watch us from afar. That God created us out of love. God desires we love God, and God has been heavily involved in our story from the very beginning, and God wants us then to be part of God's story. In this sermon series, The God Story, we're going to use the language of a story mostly as a conceit, to try to understand our relationship with God and understand how our story intersects with God's story. And that as we go through this series, we're going to read the Bible and we're going to meet people just like us who have experiences just like us, and they have interactions with God that change their lives. And hopefully by the end of this series, we're going to see our lives differently, especially as we see how God's story intersects with us. And as we read God's story in the Bible, hopefully we'll see and read the Bible differently. My challenge for us this week, I'm going to give you two options. The first option is to dig deeper into God's story. Maybe you'll use the dig deeper section at the bottom of the bulletin and read those scripture passages. Maybe you'll accept the challenge to read the Bible in a year and read those scripture passages. And that might be one way then to see how God wants to be in relationship with us. Or, if you're already reading the Bible and that's not really a challenge for you, then I invite you to journal this week. And in your journal, ask yourself, how's God at work in my life? And how do I see myself as part of something larger than myself? How am I part of God's story? God wants us to be in relationship. And so I just challenge us to grow in our relationship either by reading the Bible more or journaling and praying and seeing how God is at work in our lives. Amen.